salt. Slowly disappearing from some restaurant menus, but perhaps only a sprinkle at a time. A new review of more than 135 meals from top restaurants finds the companies have reduced salt by an average of just 6% between 2009 and 2013. Let's talk live with Jim O'Hara a little bit more about this. He's the health policy director at CSPI, the Center for Science in the Public Interest. Hi, Jim. Great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Debbie. Happy to be with you.
So let's break down some of these findings. There were some restaurants that seem to be making progress getting sodium out of their foods, but there are a lot of restaurants that need to do more. Tell us about some of those.
Sure. What we found, for instance, was Jack in the Box increased sodium on average between 2009 and 2013 by 7%, KFC by more than 12%. And as you said, there are other restaurant chains that have managed to actually reduce salt, which is critical because of salt's role in high blood pressure, strokes, heart disease. Burger King, for instance, reduced sodium on average by 27%, Subway by more than 27%.
The struggle, Jim, to get the rest of the folks to fall in line with many of these recommendations, what kind of response are you hearing from the industry about why it is not only taking so long, but that the process is so slow to happen?
Sure, Mark. Part of the issue here is that the Food and Drug Administration hasn't given the industry national standards so that we would have a level playing field for everyone to follow. The Institute of Medicine gave FDA a roadmap in 2010 to show how to reduce sodium or salt in the food supply. So companies right now are essentially left to their own devices. Many times companies say that they're using it because of consumer preference, but in fact, consumer preferences have been created by the industry's excess use of salt.
So where do we go from here? How do we get, or does your organization get the FDA to crack down even harder on some of these places? I was reading the information that you guys released, and there were a couple of restaurants. It was really unbelievable where some of those dishes contain enough sodium to fill a weekly requirement.
Well, exactly. I mean, what most of us should be, the dietary guidelines for Americans in 2010 said that we should consume about 2,300 milligrams. That's about a teaspoon of salt. And in fact, you're right. We found meals with more than 5,000 milligrams of salt. That's 2.5 times the amount that people should have in a single day.
Yeah.
What really needs to happen is the Food and Drug Administration needs to act. Secretary Burwell, the new Secretary of Health and Human Services, was asked about this by Senator Harkin at her confirmation hearing, and we hope that Secretary Burwell will show some leadership here and get behind the Food and Drug Administration and get some action.
For those that are getting praise from your organization for reducing the amount of sodium, has there been any significant change for them in terms of a customer response to their restaurant, to the flavor of the food? Has it been positive for them, I guess is where I'm headed?
Sure, no. I mean, what Subway was quoted in a article yesterday, their dietitian, saying that in fact consumers are enjoying their meals or telling them that their meals are fine. We know from other countries that have done this, like the United Kingdom, that in fact consumers over time adapt their taste. Part of the reason that we all want salt is because the industry has salted our food. So, in fact, as industry changes their recipes, puts in place innovative technology, we can adapt our taste.
Jim, fascinating information. We really appreciate you being here. Thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Well, thank you, and happy 4th of July.
Same to you.
Jim O'Hara is a health policy director for CSPI, the Center for Science in the Public Interest.